Okay. We've been trying to catch back up in Galatians, where we'd left for a long time, and give it a little review. But on that note about, well, not the deepening darkness, brighten the glimmering star, a couple of verses I kind of came to me last couple of days, mainly this morning. And as we look at what's transpiring about us, I mean, the assaults. And you can look and say, oh, well, they're just tearing down the statue. You know, it's just a military general. Listen, Robert E. Lee was about the greatest example of Christian manhood that ever walked the face of the North American continent. And they know that. You know, I've preached before about the nature of the war. A fellow I follow from the Captain's Journal, Herschel Smith, had a thing about that this week, too. It's probably in the paper or something. But he talked about the war was theological. And it doesn't detract from the fact that, you know, there was an economic element in it as well. And we know those. But it was a theological war. And I've preached about that before. You know, you had the infidelity. And not everybody in the North, but the North and the Northern churches that had fallen into all sorts of error, had left biblical Christianity. And I'm not saying that all the idiots that are out there in the streets understand all that, but that's why they're there. They want to tear down Western Christian culture. In the South, in America, is about the only place that still exists to some extent today. And they want to tear that down. And by that, I'm not trying to be narrow on Western Christian culture. I could just say Christian culture, but we know how the Lord used over the years to bring these things about. And I've told you before, it's not like, hey, you know, I'm proud of my Cherokee ancestors, but I don't want to be out there worshiping the sun and the moon. God saved them out of their paganism. Same way with my Scottish ancestors that, you know, worship Odin and Thor and all those pagan deities. When they're tearing down these things, it's preparation and it's a part of tearing down our Christian culture. And, you know, we can get all depressed about it. We can get all down about it. But, brother, let me tell you some verses that came to mind. I know you're familiar with these verses. The Apostle John wrote in his epistle in 1 John 3 and verse 11. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Why do they hate these things? Why do they hate the monuments to Christian culture and the stand to Christian culture? And yeah, today it's a monument. Tomorrow it'll be a church. The next day it'll be the books. Don't fool yourself. They're going to be coming for the books because they teach things that they don't want to be taught, and then they come for you and me. Not as Cain was of that wicked one and slew his brother, and wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. The world doesn't have to have any other reason to hate you than that. That you seek to live for God, you seek to do a right, you seek to honor God. That's all they need. It contrasts with their life, with their deeds. Because his own works were evil, his brothers were righteous. And then John says this. So, yeah, we can get down and upset about things, but he says, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. I mean, something would be amiss if they loved you, if they liked you. But not only the Apostle John, who heard much the same things at the feet of of our Savior. In John 15, the Lord, during his earthly ministry, told his disciples, said, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, that the servant is not greater than his Lord. For if they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. I mean, these poor ignorant saps hate our guts because we stand for truth and for right, for the scriptures, for God, for Christianity. They don't know it. They don't know it. It doesn't absolve them. They're without excuse, we're told. But for the grace of God, there go we. You know, Brother Hal and his prayer talked about God's election, God's choice. There, but for the grace of God, go we. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. The Lord went on. And on another occasion in Matthew 24, we see recorded, speaking much the same words. And what I'm saying here, folks, is look, don't get all discouraged by stuff that comes our way, because we should be expecting it. You know, it's what the Lord said was going to happen. And more, Matthew 24, verse 9. And I think this time may come in our lifetime, may come here in this country. Folks say, well, that couldn't happen in America. Well, I don't know the kind of stuff that you're putting in your body, but if you believe that, you know, it must be something. You better just look around. Look at where we're heading to. Look what's happening. In Matthew 24 and verse 9, the Lord said this, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. That's what's happening in the streets. They're fomenting these folks out there. You know, you put them all together, you'd be hard to, you know, to find a couple brain cells to rub together. They're offended. They hate one another. They don't know why. And many false prophets shall rise. They shall deceive many. Well, we see that on every hand as well. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Lord will preserve his people. He's in charge. He's in control. But I'm just saying, I think, you think this is bad? Worse is going to come. You know? When worse comes to mind, I can't. Was it Jeremiah or Ezekiel? The Lord was talking to one of the prophets anyway. See, the prophet was complaining. He says, you know, says, you're complaining about fighting with the footmen, you know, you're complaining about facing the infantry. Lord said, what are you going to do with the horsemen? What are you going to do when the chariots come? Because they're coming. You see, who was that? Jeremiah. Yeah, I thought it was Jeremiah. Sounded like Jeremiah. You know, he just said, yeah, complain. Lord said, now you're complaining about having to contend with the footmen. What are you going to do when the horsemen come? So, time to steel yourself to these things. And another occasion in John 16, the Lord said this in verse 2. And they shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. You know, people that believe the kind of things that you do, you're evil and wicked people. You know, they need to get rid of you. I mean, you're just vile. They'll call you all kind of names. You know, you could be a racist or supremacist. They're going to call you all sorts of things, whether they're true or not. They'll put you out of polite company. The time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. I mean, you don't think right. You really don't deserve breathing anymore, you know? Spreading that kind of stuff. That's what we're hearing, really. And these things they will do unto you because they have not known the Father, nor me. Well, that sounds kind of like a bummer, doesn't it? You know. Paul wrote to young Timothy, pastor at the church at Ephesus, and said 2 Timothy 3, verse 12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Well, I'm a good Christian. I try to live aright. Why do these bad things happen? Paul wrote Timothy, he said, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in these things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. The Lord has brought us this far. He's taught us these things. That close with one verse from the Lord. Again, from John 16, down to verse 33. Oh, look at all this persecution, this stuff, hatred, and whatever's going on. John 16, the Lord said this to his disciples. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He's going to come and set everything right. So we may have through this little trek to deal with these things, and they hate us. They put us out, and they call us names, and they think they do God's service if they kill us. But be of good cheer, the Lord says, I've overcome the world. And so those are kind of some thoughts. Just I look at what's going on, and you know what? I'm not surprised anymore. As bad as the last few weeks have been, next week probably be worse. There'll be things going on I couldn't even have imagined. Well, that's what happens every week. Mm-hmm. But new things I couldn't even have imagined. But he's still on the throne. and we can honor him. They want to eradicate all thoughts, you know, of those who went before us, of our Christian culture, of those that the Lord used, men like you and me, flesh and blood, sinners. God used them. Pass on these things. They want to eradicate that. They want to cleanse your memory of that. Brother, he's ever faithful. Thought of a, not contemporary, but relatively modern author comes to mind. William Faulkner wrote, "The past is not dead." You know, folks, I read some folks, even good Christian folks, say, "I'm tired of hearing about this. This stuff all happened 150 years ago. Just forget about it." The past is not dead, William Faulkner said. It's not even past. The past is not dead. It's not even past. God hasn't changed. Truth hasn't changed. These things that we contend for have not changed. And so, my little preliminary to encourage you this week. I hope it's encouragement. It ought to be. If we turn back briefly, at least, to look at Galatians and try to catch up to where we'd left off at one point. And again, these things are not unrelated. Paul writes to the saints there in Galatia. And they've had folks coming in, preaching a false gospel, proclaiming a works salvation. And brethren, I have no salvation at all. If it's going to depend on my works, I'm finished. I'm undone. It can't be done. And so Paul's concerned about that. He writes to these folks. And again, Paul has come to love these stinking Gentiles. Proud Jew. And he was a Jew. You know, he wasn't an Arian, you know, like all these false doctrines that abound now. I told you that guy I talked with this week, that's Christian identity, like Abraham was an Arian. Really? No. Abraham was, in some sense, the father of the Jews, you know, before Judah. And the descendants of Abraham. And that's the point here in Galatia. You know, these descendants of Abraham, physical descendants, were coming and saying, except you become a Jew, except you be circumcised, you can't be saved. Paul said, that ain't the way it works. God has a chosen and elect people from every tongue, from every nation. I don't know who they are. And this proud Jew wouldn't have so much as, you know, crossed the street to save the life of a Gentile. And then now Paul completely devoted because he's been called to be the apostle to the Gentiles. And so he's concerned with these people. He's concerned with the false doctrines and the false teachings that have come in there. And they've been teaching these things, except a man be circumcised, he can't be saved. It's all fine and well to be a Christian, but, you know, to really be saved, well, you got to become a Jew. You got to take up the law. And things have not changed. If you look around a little bit, you'll see that's a lot of folks, that's where they're coming from today. They're still not the truth. And so as Paul deals with this, and these false teachers have come in and said, well, you got to add this to what you've already got. And Paul, as we got up finally down to chapter 3, Paul asked the saints in Galatia, he says, think back in your own mind. What happened to you? What did God do in your lives? Was it because you followed the law? Was it because you became a Jew? Was it because you were circumcised? No, it's because of what God did. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? That you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ have been evidently set forth, crucified among you. God opened their eyes. God led them and gave them the power to embrace the gospel of their salvation. And then he said, you all think back. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law? They did not. Or by the hearing of faith, God opened their ears to hear those things and to receive those things. Are you so foolish? Have you been done in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect in the flesh? Okay, well, you know, we started in the Spirit, but now we got to perfect ourselves in the flesh. Take the Spirit of God, and I've got to add my stinking flesh to that, you know, to make it complete and to fulfill it. Does that make any sense? And he says, have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? And then in verse 5, in our review, I think we were here last week, says, he that ministereth to you in the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doth he yet by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Paul's ministry, and in more particular, the ministry of the Holy Spirit himself. It was done by the power of God. It was done in faith. It was done by God giving faith, by God opening ears that they might hear. And then in the next section here, Paul raised up this example again of Abraham. Brother, if somebody tells you there's a bunch of different ways of salvation throughout history, there's a bunch of different ways God saved men through history, you just stop listening to them. There's only been but one way, and that's through the blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God slain from before the foundation of the world. So, well, if I can understand all that, you don't have to. God did it. God accepted the suretyship of Jesus Christ. When Christ said, I will die for that people that you've given me. I saw some fellow recently asked, on my list, whatever, on Facebook. And I thought he was of like faith. And he was watching that stupid fight last night. And he was talking about to everybody, he says, what did he say? Whether you're watching the fight or whether you're not watching the fight, I just want you to know Jesus Christ came in the world to die for your sins. Now, Jesus Christ came in the world to die for the sins of his people. I don't know who those people are. I can't tell someone Jesus Christ didn't die for you, and I can't tell them that he did it. I can proclaim the gospel, and God will open your eyes, and Jesus Christ, as Paul says, will be set forth before them as crucified. God will show them those things. And if they're his, he'll bring them to him. And I just so many folks that claim to believe in grace, and I think they besmirch really the character of God and the character of Christ by saying these kind of things. Well, I just want you all to know that Jesus Christ died for your sins. Now, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save who? His people from what? Their sins. So I don't like that. Yeah, would you like it better that you had to save yourself? You're finished. You're done. He did. And Paul's point here is he turns to the example of Abraham. You know, was Abraham saved because he kept the law? Because he circumcised himself before, because he circumcised his sons? Is that how Abraham was saved? Paul says, I want you to look at the truth. I want you to go back and look at the scriptures. I want you to see what happens. Abraham believed God. because he had God-given faith. He had the faith of Christ. And God counted it unto him for righteousness. And all that, and we'll look at the verses next week or something. And all that came before the covenant of circumcision. Circumcision wasn't even the covenant itself. If you read, it says it was a token of the covenant. Circumcision was just a show, was to testify, was the seal, to be a seal. Just as the Holy Spirit seals us. That's a testimony, it's a witness of what God did. Even as Abraham, let's just look at those verses at least. Verse 6. Beginning of verse 6. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. You see, these Judaizers came in here and said, you know, you all aren't physically of the lineage of Abraham, so you got problems. You have big problems, you know. And Paul says, you know what? Those which are of the faith of Abraham, those that have the same God-given faith of Abraham, these same are those children that were promised Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith. Again, if these folks are right, if Abraham was some sort of Aryan, then who are these heathen that are being spoken of? You see, they're not the same. And I don't know about you and me, but you know who those heathen are? At least in my case, with me. The heathen, the pagan, that God saved. The heathen through faith preached before unto the gospel of Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. All nations. Ethnos. All peoples. In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Those which be of faith, not which worked up their own faith or, you know, exercise their own faith. Those which be of faith. The faith of Christ that Paul's spoken of before. These are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, as many as are under the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident the just shall live by faith. Abraham's faith from God. Jesus Christ was set forth before him crucified. Not in all the details, not in all and all that we may know in retrospect, but God revealed unto Abraham a Savior. You say, well, why do you say it? I say that because that's what the Lord said. The Lord said as he was dealing with his detractors, he said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. They never were saved by their own works or by keeping the law or by any of those things. Those things were given to the national Israel. They were given as a picture and a type of the truth, but they were not the truth itself. Abraham believed God. It was counted to him for righteousness. Abraham saw his day and was glad. There was salvation in none other than Jesus Christ. Whether one's Jew or Gentile, whether one is a fleshly descendant of Abraham or not, as were most of the saints in Galatia. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. I feel a little false when I say that. Before Abraham was, I am. Jesus Christ. Lamb of God slain from before the foundation, from eternity. The one that Moses was dealing with in that burning bush. There's only been one way. And God's revealed unto his people throughout all history. And it wasn't because of something they did externally. Now, Abraham believed God, and he manifested that later on. God gave the token of circumcision. And later on, maybe we'll touch on it, but we've talked about it before. And when God gave all these promises to Abraham, Abraham's faith came from God, what faith he had. And it wasn't always strong as it could or should have been, but he believed God. By the grace of God. And ultimately, God would call for great faith on his part, and God would give that great faith to him. They say that what I promised to you, and I said I would give all the promises through, and I'd fulfill all those promises through, I want you to take him out and slay him. The bottom line, Abraham learned because God taught it to him. You can trust God. Folks, you can trust God. And if you're trusting in anything else than Jesus Christ, your hopes are going to be smashed. It's that plain and simple. Christ and Christ alone. Abraham believed God. Abraham saw the day of Jesus Christ. It wasn't circumcision. It wasn't keeping the law. And God's saints manifest themselves later. By their deeds, by the way they live, they show that they believe God. And that's all of God as well. But it's none of those things that justify that. And that's what Paul's trying to communicate to the saints here in Galatia, because some folks have come in and they've tried to teach other things. You can sometimes build a bigger and a prosperous and a more prosperous ministry by trying to tell folks, you got to do this, you got to do that. You know, you got to be here, you got to be there. You got to do what I said, you know. Well, then you can get more folks to come in, get a more prosperous ministry. Maybe fill a building. Maybe get more dedicated adherents. Because I think they got to try to work their way and do all these things. And it's all for nothing. And so Paul's concern here, and he brings up this example of Abraham. Because these folks were saying, well, we're Abraham's descendants. And Paul's like, yeah, well, you may have his DNA, but you may not have his faith. And that's the thing that counts. And we'll go on with Galatians, and I'll probably throw other stuff in like I have from time to time as well. But I'll try to keep working our way. Eventually finish the book of Galatians. And after that, maybe the Lord will come by then. and he'll be preaching. And that'll be a whole lot better. I promise you. Let's take our hymnals. And we're going to stand and sing a closing hymn together. Number 362. By the Crystal River, 362. You'll recognize the tune, and the words were written by our sister, Catherine Parrish, that last I heard, she was still alive. And,
wow.
And that was maybe a year or two ago anyway, I think. By the Crystal River.
The tree of life is so sweetly blooming there, and that stream that flows through glory land. By the crystal river, the saints and angels sing. And it won't be long till I join the happy throng, giving glory to my heavenly King. No more am I lost in sin and tempest tossed, for Christ bought me with his own blood. He bore my sin when he died on Calvary's cross, and someday I'll live with him above. By the crystal river, the saints and angels sing. And it won't be long till I join the happy throng, giving glory to my heavenly King. My Savior sits on the glory circle throne and makes intercession for me. He's coming soon to transport me to my home. Now I'll praise him when his face I see. By the crystal river, the saints and angels sing. And it won't be long till I join the happy throng, giving glory to my heavenly King. I'm filled with joy and my soul can hardly wait till this mortal life is all past. I'll shout praise God when I see the pearly gates. Hallelujah, for I'm home at last. By the crystal river, the saints and angels sing. And it won't be long till I join the happy throng, giving glory to my heavenly King.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Day in which we come together because our Lord victoriously rose from the grave on the first day of the week. And Lord, he accomplished that which we could never do. And Lord, he accomplished that which we can't add anything to. And Lord, it was by your grace that he was set forth before our own eyes as crucified. It was your Holy Spirit that gave us life, gave us repentance and faith that we might truly hear and embrace that gospel of our salvation. Lord, unto him be all the glory. Father, I pray that we might never be distracted by seeking to commend ourselves unto thee by our own deeds or works or actions. And yet, Lord, realizing that you've saved us unto good works. And it's you alone that bring forth those from amongst your saints. I pray, Lord, that by your grace we might be conformed to the image of your Son. It might be manifest in our lives, in our words, in our deeds, whose we are. Lord, even as we realize, as we spoke earlier, that in the light of those things, the world's not going to be our friend. The world may, Lord, indeed will hate us. And yet, Lord, you've promised us peace. We thank you for that. Father, we thank you for each one that's here. Pray go with us as we go our ways this week and use us to your glory. Pray, Lord, that the hand would be upon those that need your healing. Those who travel, like in particular my own daughter Heather, she travels to China again this week. Watching over Brother Hal and his family as they traveled up to Ohio and back. Father, we thank you that you are a sovereign God, that you rule and reign in the affairs of men, that we can ever trust in thee. We thank you, Lord, for our Savior and his all-sufficient atoning death. And it's in his precious name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.